Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Holy Smokes Catholic Review. Father Scott along with William Tapia.
Oh, man. You are outdoing yourself every day, my friend. That was beautiful.
Wasn't it?
That was amazing.
Yep.
And, wow.
And all in honor of Tony Willemitis.
That's epic, man. Oh, my gosh. I'm honestly, I'm at a loss for words. I think we need to compile all of these tracks and make a Holy Smokes Greatest Hits album. Mm-hmm. Oh, do vinyl, man. Make it like hip with the hipsters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have it pressed, 8-track, mm-hmm, cassette tapes, mm-hmm, the whole nine yards, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. That was mm-hmm, awesome, man.
Thank you. I worked hard on it.
I can't believe you're crying again, though, dude. You were so emotional.
So, Tony, come on, dude. Come on back, man.
Yeah, he's still out there enjoying beautiful Hawaii. He sent me a picture. Let me pull it up here. He sent me a picture a couple of days ago. I think yesterday, actually. So he was saying that in Hawaii, so he went to this pub in Hawaii.
Right.
And, you know, it gets so hot, so unbelievably hot there in the summertime, and so muggy and everything, that what they have in this particular bar to keep the beers cold is, you know, instead of like the standard wood top bar, they have a portion of it, mm-hmm, that's like glass. And underneath that glass is like this freezing thing, this freezing element. So it keeps your glass like frosty, ice cold if you put it on top of it in
like,
this bar.
Like a ice skating rink.
Yeah. Ice skating rink for your beer.
That's cool.
Look, check that out.
Oh, that's hip.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's like all frosty and snowy on the little glass piece and stuff. And it keeps his beer ice cold. They said that he's at, he was enjoying the Maui Brewing Company's Imperial Coconut Porter.
Really?
Which I think was one of his favorite beers. I remember somebody had visited out there and he was trying to get him to bring back a case. So, man, crazy.
Hawaii's great weather-wise, as long as the breeze is, you know, blowing. You take that breeze away and then it gets hot and muggy.
Well, that humidity, I just can't. God bless all of our listeners. If we have any people who are listening who like deal with the humidity, I can't do it, man. I cannot do it. I'm a desert rat to my core, man.
So my brother was living in San Antonio, right? So he went off to work. His wife was off to work. So I'm there at the house all alone. Summertime had to be, you know, 98 degrees with, you know, like 92% humidity, whatever. So I said to him, I'm going to go mow your lawn. Where's the lawnmower? It's in the garage, but you're not going to mow the lawn. Yeah, I'm going to mow the lawn. So I started to mow the lawn. I made it one row and I was dying.
Oh, I believe it.
Horrible.
No, and so I'll never forget. I was in Venice probably 8 years ago, mm-hmm. and I went in August, which is always like the most sweltering month. That's the month that all the Italians usually leave Italy. They go to yeah. like France or other places that are cooler for right. the summertime. So I was in Venice in the worst possible week, hottest week of the year. It was probably like 97 degrees. And dude, the the humidity was like 95% because of all the canals and stuff. 97%. They have all the canals and all the
right.
little waterways and stuff. It was so humid, right? I spilled this coffee on my pants in the morning. It didn't dry. It didn't dry. It was wet to the touch all day till the sun went down.
Wow.
Dude, in the hotels, they had to change out the towels every single night because they wouldn't dry after you dried your hands with them.
This
They'd
is in stay Venice. Wet.
This is in Venice, Italy.
And you know what? In the summertime, that canal starts stinking.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
it's yeah. nasty.
That's what's funny, right? You have these... And that's not to take anything away from Venice. I had some amazing times there. It's so beautiful. But that's what's funny, right? Is like we took these pictures. It's just these beautiful canals that you see, all the mosaics and whatever, and the bridges mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And man, sometimes that smell was almost overbearing. You know, it was like making you
it
sick.
Is. It you is. So the time to go to Venice is like September, October. That's perfect.
Well, when's that one? They have that one season where it floods, mm-hmm. right? So like all of Venice mm-hmm. gets like 3 feet of water. And like floods the cathedral, like everything.
Well, and the plaza, it's all underwater.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, ordinarily, it's just beautiful, and you hang out in the plaza and listen to music, because they have orchestras playing.
Oh,
and
man.
People are drinking wine. It's beautiful, but yeah, it's, you know, they get this flood thing happening. And
I'm trying to find out the temperature in Venice right now. It's actually not too bad. It's only getting up to 82, it says. Tomorrow, I was trying to see if it'll tell me what the humidity is in Venice, but anyway, it's not. 75%. So right now in Ooh. Venice, Italy, at this very moment, so it's 6:42 in the morning in Venice. It's 74 degrees and 75% humidity.
Yeah, see, that's nasty. It's terrible.
That's not even the height of the day yet, right? So.
And you know, I tell people this, they don't believe it. People that are not from here, you can take a towel,
mm-hmm.
sopping wet,
mm-hmm.
you hang it on a clothesline, come back an hour later, it's dry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
Hello?
No, and that's what's... Dude, I love the dry heat so much. So much better than the humidity. Mm. Because, right, so you could be in the sun, and you're in the sun. It's roasting hot. Maybe it's, you know, 95, 98 degrees, roasting hot, cooking in the sun. You go in the shade, though,
mm-hmm.
and you feel great. You feel fine.
Right.
For the most part. But, well, you know, it's not like the humidity where the air is just heavy. Just heavy and oppressive and...
So we Father Marshall and I played golf on last Wednesday, right? So it was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
But in the shade, it's great. No problem.
Yep.
It's only when you're in the sun. So you just, you know, find a shady spot, you know, behind some tree to park your golf cart and hang out there until you mm-hmm. hit the shot. So it's doable.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then at night, right? So that this is what's also great is we have these huge temperature swings. We're not even like Phoenix. Phoenix is dry heat, but they stay pretty hot throughout the night too.
It used to be.
Really?
Yeah. That's all changed because so many people there and they plant, you know, they have grass, they have trees. Everybody has a swimming pool. So it's turned Phoenix now, you know, humid.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Phoenix will stay hot, though, at night, right? Mm. So it won't get a nice cool to it. But here, I mean, we'll have temperature swings of like 30, 35 degrees, sometimes 40 degrees, you know? Like today was like 98 degrees and tonight's going to be like 65.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an awesome temperature swing. Like 65, man, is so nice to sit in the evenings and smoke a cigar and
right.
have
and
a
then
cold
you,
beer.
Exactly. And then you turn off your air conditioner and
exactly.
you crank your windows open and you sleep like a baby.
Yep. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. So
I love this place.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, love this place.
Yeah. Well, I've got some issues with it.
Mm.
But it's all right.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
We know. But no, I love this place, dude. Ain't no place like it.
Pope Benedict the 16th.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I'm kind of slurring my words is because I've got a cigar in my mouth.
Oh, there's a reason this time. That's awesome.
Yeah. What?
So there's a reason you're slurring your words this time. It's not just you slurring your words normally.
Excuse me?
Continue, please.
JK.
So Benedict the 16th.
Yeah, that's right. So he, what was that, about 2 months ago, I guess, he released this letter. Or, yeah, it was a kind of a article, I guess. What would you call that?
That
he released? It's not like a papal whatever, but...
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, but...
press release, I don't
know.
Yeah,
whatever. I mean, what would you say?
I don't know.
Because he's not, you know, he's not the Pope. He's the emeritus. So I don't know. How would you classify? But
he's the asparagus.
But did you? Yeah, that's right.
The asparagus.
Asparagus.
That's what,
did you?
That's what Archbishop Sheehan says.
Right.
Retired Archbishop.
Hey, so what? Now, did you read this letter? He's addressing these, you know, the priest scandals.
Yeah.
The scandals in the priesthood. What did you come? Did you read it?
Well, so I read excerpts of it, right? So it has so many quotable pieces of it. I'm a bad Catholic because I haven't read it end to end, even though I really should.
Well, he's really, you know, he's focusing on the crisis, and you know the situation, you know, with the sexual revolution in the 60s and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, he had, and it was really solid. Our friend Justin Bucalo, his wife Carrie, wrote a letter to Benedict to thank him for, you know, this work. And he sent back a, he sent her a thank you. She wrote to thank him. And then he wrote back to her to thank her for thanking him.
So cool, man.
Isn't that cool?
I love that.
Yeah. Well, so now he, of course, has some critics.
Right.
So dig this. So he said, and I'll just read the article. Okay. This is by, Mikey Hickson, I think. Is it M-A-I-K-E? How would you say that?
M-I-K-E?
No. M-A-I-K-E.
Mikey? M-A-I-K-E.
Is it Mikey? Mikey?
I don't know. Mikey?
Hickson?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
So anyway, she says this. In a short commentary for the Catholic German Journal, Herder Korsponsches in his...
Yeah. And there was no cigar in his mouth for any of that, ladies and gentlemen.
Herder Korsparsches mission. Pope Emeritus Benedict 16 responds to Birgit Oschmann, a history professor who criticized his April 2019 letter on the sex abuse crisis. I love this. Here's Pope. This is great. This is Benedict awesome. He's so awesome. Whoa. Did you hear that guy peeling out?
I did.
In his response to Oschmann, Benedict calls her critique typical of the general deficit in the reception of my text.
Mm.
See, it's so funny. It's just, man, that just cuts right to the heart. Without being offensive, that's Benedict. A general deficit, don't you love it, in the reception of his text.
Mm-hmm.
It's really saying you don't have the capacity, your intellect doesn't have the capacity to grasp what I'm trying to teach. That's what it sounds like to me.
Dude, so I pulled up his letter. So they call it an essay. It's pretty lengthy. I mean, it's like, it's pretty, it just goes on throughout this whole article. And so the title of it is called The Church and the Scandal of Sex Abuse. But man, you know, and what always impresses me with Benedict, and this is something that he would say as well, and one of the many reasons why I like him is because he's not just like writing, right? He writes in kind of the style of St. Thomas Aquinas, where he writes to always anticipate what his objectors will say. So he writes with that kind of in mind, with that kind of philosophical discourse in mind. And I love it because like he builds in his own kind of arguments in defense of himself, you know? Mm-hmm. Talk about a genius. That man, I think one day could be a doctor of the church. Such a genius. And his writings are incredible.
So. I agree with that. I love him.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I'm surprised. I mean, it's right. So there's several interesting pieces to this. We are in a unique situation that we have a retired Pope, Pope Emeritus. We're also in a unique situation that this Pope Emeritus is releasing an essay. And if my understanding is correct, I think it was his first, this is his first writing that he's, published, as the emeritus. Mm-hmm. So, kind of some interesting precedents that are being set by Pope Benedict. And of course, no matter what you do, and we all know this, but you're going to have haters. You're going to have haters, especially when you're talking about something as sensitive and as controversial as the sex abuse crisis in the church. So God bless you, Pope Benedict. And
now, have you
definitely
heard
pray
about
for that guy.
Have you heard about the new movie that's coming out?
Which one?
Called The Two Popes.
No. I don't think I have.
So, I'll have to look it up. So, Anthony Hopkins is playing Pope Benedict. And I forget who is playing Pope Francis. But, so I guess it's the two popes sitting down to a table and having an argument or having a discussion that I guess leads to some kind of argument. A new movie, it's called The Two Popes. I'm just now pulling it up from the rap. All right, so Anthony Hopkins. And they begin discussing, you know, they're talking about the Beatles. So that'll be an interesting film. Anthony Hopkins and also Jonathan Pryce is the guy who plays Francis.
Well, yeah, so what's funny is Jonathan Pryce, the guy who's playing Pope Francis in this, there was like so many memes when Pope Francis was elected comparing this actor to Pope Francis because they do look alike. Like, they look alike. There's no mm-hmm. question they look alike. And that's pretty funny that he got cast in that, man. He looks exactly like Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm. So listen to this. If you can hear it. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Are we going to get in copyright trouble?
Yes, I know who they are.
Of course you do.
Eleanor Rigby.
Who?
Eleanor Rigby.
No, I don't know.
You know, Yellow Submarine. Da-dum-dum-dum.
Yellow Submarine. That's silly. It's very funny.
So, anyway, I don't know. Would we get in trouble for that?
I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, it's public stuff. I mean, it's out there, right?
It's so funny. Yeah, these pictures do look just like the two of them. It's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that... Like, well, Anthony Hopkins kind of resembles Pope Benedict, too.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's funny. I have truly never heard of this before.
Now, speaking of films, should I bring it up?
What?
Because you're a big fan of Breaking Bad.
Well, I don't want to scandalize anyone on the podcast.
Well, it's
also
true.
You just outed me as a Breaking Bad fan.
Well, you
sorry,
watch
people,
it. You love it.
Don't be scandalized by that.
You've made
that.
You know, you go pay that $75 to take the little van that takes you to all the sites. I think you.
I've actually never done that.
No joke.
No,
really?
I've never done that. No, I've wanted to, but I've never done
it. It'd be kind of fun.
Our Breaking Bad RV tours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fun thing they do in Albuquerque. They have an RV that looks just like...
$75.
Is it really?
Yeah.
A seat? Wow. But it looks like Walt and Jesse's RV from the show, and so they drive it all around the city to the filming locations and do stuff like that, do tours. And
so they got a movie coming out.
They do. Called El Camino.
El Camino. Not to be confused with Gran Torino. Have you seen that?
Yeah, but I wasn't confused with those two names.
But they're both cars.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm just looking out for other things that are in the news. Pope Francis got stuck in an elevator today for 25 minutes.
Really?
The rescue or the fire department had to come rescue him.
They really had to call the fire department?
Yeah.
Where the heck was he? Vatican City?
I guess.
That's so interesting.
And then I think that's it for the news.
Well, tell me more about the Pope Francis stuck in an elevator
All
story.
Right,
that, to
I'll
me,
pull it up.
That's got my attention, dude.
All right, I'm pulling it up right now. This is from Alitalia.
I know.
What is it? What is the...
Which we still have not figured out how to say. Alitalia, I think.
Alitalia.
Alitalia?
Alitalia? Look, if you're going to have a website, make sure we can all pronounce it.
I don't know.
All right, so Pope Francis arrived a bit late for the Angelus prayer on Sunday.
That's hilarious.
He said, I must apologize for the delay. There was an incident. I was locked in the elevator for 25 minutes. The pilgrims in the square below, so this had to be it, right? Vatican City. The Apostolic Palace window greeted him with particularly loud applause when he arrived. He explained... There was a drop in voltage and the elevator stopped. Thank God the fire brigade came. Thank you so much. And after 25 minutes of work, they managed to get it to go. Let's hear it for the fire brigade. And everybody went crazy.
You know what's funny? So the two different reactions. So he's not, think about it. Think about being one of those pilgrims. Just drop my phone. Think about being one of those pilgrims who are like waiting in St. Peter's Square. A lot of them have like their first time seeing the Pope. They're like, everybody's nervous, right? Mm-hmm. It's getting closer. There's 5 minutes till 12 p.m. on the dot when Pope Francis will appear in his window. They do the mic checks, all this stuff. 12 p.m. hits. He's not there. So everybody's probably in the square, probably freaking out. Everyone's right. Losing their minds. What's going on? Has there been something that happened to the Pope? I mean, just all this stuff going on in the square. And then on the flip side, too. So Pope Francis is known for like not traveling with like a lot of people. Like when he's walking around, he doesn't have like his posse or whatever. He likes to walk by himself. Mm-hmm. So you almost wonder, too, if then inside Vatican walls, they're like, all right, where's the Pope? It's 12. Where is he at? Check the bathrooms. Everyone's checking the bathrooms. Like, at what point did they decide to go check the elevator and realize he was stuck in there?
That's pretty funny.
You know what I mean? Like, he probably doesn't have a cell phone on him. Like, he's.
Do the popes have cell phones? I'm just curious.
Oh, that was weird. They probably do have cell phones.
I don't know what that was. Weird glitch.
Yeah, we got a little glitch in our ears.
Yeah.
No, the Pope. I don't know, man. I mean, so Benedict, probably not, because that's not like he never used, would use a cell phone even as a cardinal. That was kind of before his time, you know? Mm-hmm. I could see Pope Francis using a cell phone, to be honest with you. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably kind of like...
Isn't that worldly? And isn't he opposed to that? And, you know, it puts out radiation all through the air. Isn't he opposed to that? I mean, did he not write Laudatio Si? I'm just wondering.
I don't think that's how you pronounce that.
What is it?
Laudato.
Laudato?
Laudatio.
What is it? What did I say?
He said, I think he said Laudatio Si.
Oh, is it? Laudato Si?
I think he said Laudatio Si.
What is it?
Sounds like a beatbox. Laudato.
Laudato Si.
Laudato.
Did you read it?
No.
Yeah, see?
Like I said, I'm a bad
Catholic. You don't read. You don't read anything.
Well, I've been trying to read, a book.
What?
I've been trying to read Don Quixote.
What? The Making of Breaking Bad?
No, Don Quixote. Yeah. Which was gifted to me by someone who's been on this podcast.
How did you get through school?
Well, no, like, I didn't actually, like...
Read it
in school. Familiar with the storyline. No, Father Michael Nimchek gave it to me.
Oh.
This old book from the Felicians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Very cool.
Anyway...
All right, so...
So Pope Francis got stuck in an elevator. Yeah. We should call that, hey, let's name this podcast... like, the Pope, I don't know, the Pope got stuck in the elevator or something. We should make an album. I feel like it'd be a good album title. Like,
you know, there's that Aerosmith tune, Love in an Elevator. Pope in an elevator.
Dude, future song idea, man, I'm telling you.
Pope in an elevator. All right. So, listen, what are you smoking, pal?
What are you smoking?
Well, I'm smoking the Macanudo Inspirado. Okay, it's a Maduro. What was this about? 5 inches?
I think it's 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Good draw. Nice burn. Pretty good.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, the taste is good. Let me do a, because I've been talking when I've been smoking, so hold on a minute.
It looks like a natural... To a Maduro.
Yeah, look at it. It's dark.
Is it? You think it's more of a Maduro?
Yeah, and it's got a... I like this. The taste is very... It's a smooth taste. Very, very yummy. Smooth. So, a mild taste. So, yeah, I like it. And, yeah. It's the first time ever smoking this Macanudo Inspirado. I give it a thumbs up. Thumbs up.
And I think that was... I think that cigar was like $9.
Really?
It was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic thumbs up.
I like Macanudos generally. Mm-hmm. So I'm smoking a Macanudo as well, the Macanudo Gold. Mm-hmm. And I actually have the ring gauge we were talking before. I have it on the label. Mm-hmm. This is 52 ring gauge, and it is 6 inches long. So anyway, it's really tasty. It's a very light cigar. It's a Connecticut. Yeah, super even burn. Look at that burn.
Yeah.
That's like perfect. That's a textbook even burn all the way around. Lit really well.
That's a natural wrapper.
Well, it's Connecticut.
Well, it's Connecticut. Well, look how light it is.
No, it's super light.
Yeah.
It's a really, really mellow smoke. Not overbearing. It's not spicy. And this is the other kind of trade-off you get when you get a super light Connecticut. Mm-hmm. It can be a little challenging to kind of discern, like, flavors. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's so light. Like, I mean, one could say it's kind of maybe a little, like, cedary, but mm-hmm. but just a little bit. And it's not, other than that, you're not getting a whole lot of body from the cigar itself. Mm-hmm. At least, I don't think so. But it's very tasty. It's like a summer cigar, you know? This would mm-hmm. be awesome if it's blazing hot outside and you're sitting by the pool mm-hmm. or want to smoke on something mm-hmm. that's light. But, yeah, Macanudo, Gold Label, mighty tasty Connecticut.
Very hip.
And, yeah, this guy was $9, I think, as well.
$9. Is that it?
That's all I got.
Okay, man. Very hip. Did we get any new...
No new reviews.
None? Really? Did you check the...
Well, so we're at 34. Were we at 34 last week? I forget.
Oh, I don't know. Really? Remember. So no new ones? Oh, man. We need some more reviews, people. Get those reviews to us.
Ooh.
So did I mention last week? I think I did, about the dog that was lost. Did I mention that? About the Chihuahua? Did I mention this?
I think so. Okay. It's ringing a bell, but I don't...
Well, the McCormicks lost their dog in the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, and he showed up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he came back around.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the gospel, shall we?
Let's do it.
It is time. No game show tonight.
No game show.
Or today, tonight, whatever. Okay, here we go. Here's the gospel. This is from the 22nd Sunday in ordinary time, all right? So it is as follows. This is from Luke 14, 1, 7 through 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. So he told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited, he said, by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline, that is, at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, give your place to this man, and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, my friend, move up to a higher position. Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, when you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. There you go. Okay.
Amen.
What do you got?
Well, I think this Sunday, you know how, like, oftentimes throughout the church year, we have, like Divine Mercy Sunday, like, all this kind of stuff, right? I think this Sunday, the 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, should be called Humility Sunday, because that's kind of what all the readings are about right. this week, right? And we touched a little bit on kind of this theme, I think, last week. But this gospel and all these readings this past Sunday kind of break this concept and idea open a little bit further, right? I mean, the first piece, of course, is all about humility. So he again, Jesus goes into the details of what humility actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But the crux of it is humility. And this, again, dude, ties right back into the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from Sirach 3:17. He says, humble yourself, the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Humility Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So you write a letter to Rome and get that thing going.
Start then. Rallying.
So, okay. So what can we say about humility? What is humility?
Mm.
What do you say?
Well, so this is interesting what Jesus says. I'm going to default to Jesus here. So what's interesting, right? So the two different types of humility he kind of touches on. I don't know if it's two different types. I'm probably not using that concept the right way. But so you have one type of humility where you choose humility for yourself up from the get-go. So you choose the lowest seat, right? Mm-hmm. So you have true humility, you choose the lowest seat, and then you become honored in your humility. So, mm-hmm. so anticipate the lowest seat. So that way the master of the banquet will invite you to a greater mm-hmm. seat of honor, right? Mm-hmm. That's true humility. And then he contrasts that with kind of like, I don't know, it's not humility. It's like, it's almost like an embarrassment, right? Mm-hmm. Where you take the seat of honor at the table and they're like, mm-hmm. no, that seat doesn't belong to you. And so you get humbled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the two different types of humility.
Well, self-inflicted and then that humility that is imposed on you by God himself.
Yeah.
So we are taught either we humble ourselves, and that's the end of the gospel, right?
Right.
Humble yourself, because those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. So you get humbled either way. So either you humble yourself, or God will humble you. And I can tell you from experience, it is much easier to humble yourself than to be humbled by the Lord.
Oh, man. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, so, I mean, because right, because one is almost. I mean, it's the former mm-hmm. is like you're really being exalted in that humility, but then the other one, it's, and I don't know, because like English is so weird, right? Because we use that same word humility, or like be humbled, as like this has these two different senses. Because if you're like, oh, I went to this banquet and I was humbled. It's kind of like a negative thing, right? It's like mm-hmm. I was embarrassed or I was, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I was humbled in my embarrassment, mm-hmm. right? So it is interesting. It's like an embarrassment and then a virtue and this weird kind of balancing act in the English language. But yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody is praised, you know, and they say, yeah, I was so humbled by their praise, right? So that's the case, I think, of a person in his or her humility. In the process of getting exalted, that they are humbled.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like they're like, wow, how did I deserve this?
Yes, exactly.
You know? Why do I deserve this? And, but they love it. I mean, it's, you know, it's a cool thing to be praised, you know, but to be humble about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really deserve this. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Oh, man, I had a thought and I lost it.
I do that all the time.
Shoot.
Especially in the middle of sermons. I have this thought and I'm telling you, it's a ground mover.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll change. I have these thoughts that'll change the world and they disappear.
There they go.
Yeah. All right. So listen, here's my reflection on humility. Okay. So you've got the proud and haughty person who... is very arrogant and thinks himself to be great and who hungers for wealth and power and honor and popularity and all of those things. Okay. And that person lacks humility. Okay. On the other side of the coin, you've got the person who is so down on himself. Okay. And some people, and I'm thinking of those, you know, with our problem with drugs today and pornography and prostitution and all of this, that people treat themselves or see themselves as nothing more than disposable trash.
Mm.
Okay? And that's not humility either. Okay? So what is humility? And I said this. Here's what I believe. Humility for me is when I acknowledge myself for what I really am. It's a great article that came out on, it was posted on New Advent, I forget who wrote it, about how we humans, the problem with our world today, and, you know, there's all kinds of people pointing at each other, you know, Democrats point at Republicans point the finger of blame at the, you know, the other party, okay? So, but this person who wrote the article said our problem stems from the fact that we do not know who we are or who we belong to or where we are going.
Mm.
All right. So I would say this, you know, the people that are using and abusing and are addicted to drugs, this applies also to porn, mm-hmm. you know, stars, people in pornography or in prostitution. They're not humble either. And because they don't, I would say true humility is understanding one's place in relation to God.
Mm.
Okay. And first of all, to back up a little bit, I would say, you know, to realize that God is God. So for me, God is God. I am not. He is the creator. I'm a creation. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is forever. I am mortal. And if I am to be made immortal, it's only because of him. But I also realize that, you know, who I am or what and who do I belong to? Okay. The truth is, I'm a child of God. Okay. So I would say that, you know, people that are using and abusing drugs or in pornography, they're not realizing. And so they're not humble because they don't realize what they really truly are and what they're called to be. And that is to be children of the Most High God who gave them life that they may live and live forever with him. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So to look down on oneself and to treat oneself as, you know, disposable garbage, that's mm-hmm. not humility at all. So it's just as bad as the guy who's all puffed up with, you know, pride and self-importance and, you know, is narcissistic, mm-hmm. you know, which is not humility, you know, either, but both are equally as bad. Okay. And I think that when we realize, or when the person realizes, or in the case of myself, when I realize that, look, I'm a child of God. And I am nothing before the Lord, but he wants to make me something. And he already has made me something because he's made me a child of him. And he's invited me into his family. He's revealed himself to me and he's given me a purpose in life. And that is to find my way to the glory of heaven, which is what he wants to give me. And my purpose in life, okay, is to help not only get to heaven myself, but to help others, to pull and to drag and to push people, as many souls as I can, and to take them to heaven with me. Mm. All right. So think about it. If my purpose is to just become rich and be popular and powerful, well, in the end I lose that. Okay. And then on the other side of the coin, if I'm, you know, doing porn or using drugs, then I'm not realizing my purpose and therefore I'm very unhappy. Because a man is only happy when he finds his purpose in the Lord.
It 100% makes sense, right? Because, and it puts into perspective all of our quote unquote good actions, right? Because what is fundamentally the greatest good on earth? The greatest good on earth and the greatest truth on earth is that there was a person who lived 2,000 years ago, who was God made flesh, right. Who was birthed by mm-hmm. a virgin, who died on the cross mm-hmm. in atonement for all of our sins to open the gates of heaven. That's the greatest good and the greatest truth, right? So it puts into perspective all of our good deeds. So our good deeds don't stand alone. They're not these deeds that stand by themselves to exalt us, right? Is if in the proper perspective, our good deeds pale in comparison to the one good deed, right? The one mm-hmm. truth. But that's not to diminish either our good deeds, but that's, again, to put it into a healthy perspective. Because I think what you're saying as well, Father, is that there's a difference between this true humility, like you're talking about, and like a false sense of humility, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm curious, and I was trying to look up a quick little article on this, but I'm trying to understand the term of false humility, because you hear it kind of thrown around a lot where, somebody gives you a compliment and you're like, oh, well, you know, yeah. Oh, I'm just this and that. And
I'm really very, you know, don't thank me. I'm just a piece of crap. And
yeah, you know, deprecation where your own gifts that you're aware of. Like,
and see, that's not humility. Humility says, you know what? I'm good at what I do because God gave me this gift. Mm. I would say that's humility. Okay, that's the Blessed Mother, isn't it? The Magnificat. Yeah. The Almighty has, look, every generation will call me blessed. Why? Because I'm just so great? No. Every generation will call me blessed because the Almighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. So mm-hmm. to say, oh, yeah, it's nothing. And I don't know. No, okay, look, I'm good at this. Because God has made me so. It's a gift from the Lord, and then I can praise the Lord. That's true humility,
yeah,
in my opinion.
But so there's two pieces of the Magnificat, of course, which comes from the Gospel of Luke, as he's quoting Mary in her response to Gabriel, who announces Jesus will be born of her. Mm-hmm. So the two things that stand out in regards to humility is that Mary says that the Lord has looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid, mm-hmm. right? And then she goes on, and later on in that same piece, she says that that he has put down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. And so this, again, man, is coming straight from this scripture, right? Like mm-hmm. exalting the lowly, bringing through the servant, bringing through the mm-hmm. downcast, bringing through the trodden, and exalting them and calling them into the banquet, right?
Right. There you go. But calling them into the banquet, okay, by making them his children.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's the coolest thing. Okay, so look, we're human persons. Okay, so you think about this. We're human persons. Okay, we're the only creature created in his image and likeness. He gives us a soul. He invites us to his eternity. To make it possible, he comes down from heaven in the person of Jesus. He died on the cross. That's how much he loves us. Okay?
Mm.
So here we are, nothing. We're his creatures. But that's how much he loves us. And he invites us to be a part of his family forever. Okay? So, and our purpose is to find our way there and to help others. We help each other find or arrive at this reality. All right. So it's a tragedy, you know, going back to the person who's using and abusing drugs and the prostitute or the porn star. Okay. Their purpose is to use drugs. Their purpose is to make porn. That's their purpose. Isn't that a tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
You were called to be a child of God, but instead you are making your purpose this sinful thing that you do.
Well, and it's completely, I mean, fundamentally completely misguided, right? At its essence. Yeah, no, it's misleading. It's a lie. You're right. It's the opposite of humility.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's so tough. What we're trying to grasp at is that, I mean, humility is so multifaceted, right? Like, mm-hmm. humility, other than being one of the cardinal virtues, I mean, it's such a multifaceted sort of thing. And so I was looking up as well what St. Thomas has to say about it, St. Thomas Aquinas. And he said something interesting, I think, that might kind of help us chip away at this. So St. Thomas says, the virtue of humility consists in keeping oneself within one's own bounds, not reaching out to things above one, but submitting to one's superior. So I think that's a really mm-hmm. curious piece to that, right? Mm-hmm. So humility, as we've already kind of said, is kind of staying in your lane, so to speak, like knowing mm-hmm. what you're good at and excelling in that one thing.
Right.
And so you're not, so he says, you're not reaching out to things above one.
Right.
Again, coming from the scriptures, you're not reaching for the seat of honor at the banquet table.
Right.
And then the last piece, submitting to one superior.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's what I would say too. And then this ties into that last part of that gospel where, you know, our Lord speaks about if you lower yourself, then the host will exalt you. Okay. So, you know, what you were saying about, you know, knowing one's bounds,
mm-hmm.
but with the Lord, think about that, the boundary, you know, think about the great things a person can achieve with the gifts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a person can achieve greatness with the help of the Lord. And because the Lord exalts that person who is, you know, who humbles himself and realizes that he needs God to accomplish these great things
mm-hmm.
and that his ability to accomplish the great thing is only because of the Lord God.
Well, and it's also true greatness, right? Like, it's not, and this, dude, oh, it's such a great quote from Pope Benedict, just touching on this idea of greatness, where Pope Benedict writes that you were not born for mediocrity, you were born for great, or you're sorry, you were not born for comfort, you were born for greatness, right? But what is greatness? What is true greatness? It's not having all the money in the world. It's not mm. having a beautiful wife mm. or having a beautiful or handsome husband or having, you know, this big, gigantic mansion on a cliff in California. I don't know, whatever, you know, but that's not, I'm sure those things can be good and they can lead you to good things, but they're certainly not an end in themselves, right? What is true greatness? True greatness is dying in a state of grace and being raised up on the last day to sing the praises of the Lord forever in heaven. Mm-hmm. That is greatness. That is what we are called to do. And humility is an excellent, fantastic right. tool to bring right. us into that greatness. And just again, right? I mean, in this gospel, the last piece can be confusing when he's talking about, oh, don't invite other people who want to exalt you in return. Don't invite people who, you know, you scratch their back and they'll come and they'll scratch your back. Mm-hmm. He said, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, these people who will never, ever, ever, ever be able to repay you back
mm-hmm.
because you are not to expect repayment.
But only from the Lord.
Right? You are not supposed right. to expect repayment.
Right.
And that, I mean, that... Yeah, that's the crux of what it was. And again, to reference the cross, right? Jesus died on that cross and did not expect repayment. Mm-hmm. Right? He expected the repayment of souls, but I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing we can ever do to repay God, the God-man, mm-hmm. dying on the cross.
No way.
We can never repay that. Mm-hmm. That is why Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died on that cross, because that was a debt we could not ever pay.
Exactly.
Do not expect repayment.
All right. Now, I want to add this too, okay? You know, what we are, what are we? We're children of the Lord, okay? Our purpose is to get to heaven, and the Lord God has made us his children and has paved the way for us and opened the doors for us to get to heaven, okay? So who do we belong to? Well, we belong to the Lord, therefore. All right, so these people who say, my body, my choice. Okay, I got news for you, and this is scripture. You are not your own, because you have been purchased at a price. And what is that price? It's the crucified Christ, the spilling of his blood. He gave his life. That's what bought us. You know, the Lord has bought us. He's purchased us for himself because he loves us that much and he wants to give us his heaven. So for these people who shove this stuff down our throat, my body, my choice, you are not your own. Mm-hmm. You have been purchased at a price. Mm-hmm. You belong to the Lord. And if you don't realize that, then you lack humility, mm-hmm. because humility, as I see it, as I'm going, the angle I'm going with is humility. And among other things, okay, all these things we're talking about, yes, but humility, I would say, is to recognize or to acknowledge that God is God, I am not, but to acknowledge the fact that I belong to him. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of his family, I'm adopted, and I'm given a seat in his heaven.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, and that's the proper ordering of creation. So what you just described, where it's God is God and I am me and I fall in this kind of chain, right? Mm-hmm. It's this chain of command, this natural order, the supernatural, I should say probably supernatural order, to creation, right? Is that we all fall along this chain and we need to know our place in that chain as humility. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I think St. Thomas Aquinas is saying in that quote. In that quote I was reading, I think that's what he was saying is that we know our superior. So fundamentally we have this great chain, and the Catholic Church is so awesome about this because we don't have to guess. This is what's so refreshing about our faith, is that it takes the guesswork out of religion, right? We're not sitting here scratching our heads wondering, well, I guess God is up here and I interpret him how I want and whatever, and I just fit into this natural order. No. We have this beautiful thing that's laid out for us. So parishioners of St. John Vianney, our superior is Father Scott Mansfield.
And
Father Scott Mansfield is your superior is?
It's just the Archbishop.
Archbishop John Wester. His superior
is the Pope.
The Pope's superior is Jesus Christ, the God-man, right? So we have this amazing chain, and we recognize our place in that chain. We recognize what obedience truly is. Mm. That these things are not just fluff words of virtue that we hear in these textbooks of old, but they are real, they are concrete, and they call us to something right. greater at their core.
And I'm glad you mentioned the word obedience, because you know, we express our, or we show forth our humility through obedience. Okay. Also, we show forth our love through obedience. Okay, but obedience is so important. What would prevent us from being obedient? Pride, mm-hmm. which is the opposite of humility.
Absolutely.
Pride. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to serve because I'm filled with pride. Dude, that's Adam and Eve all over again.
It's Judas as well, right? Isn't
Judas
it?
Judas all over again, no. too. You're right.
Exactly. And this is the crux of it, man, is that these things are laid out for us so clearly. And obedience is really super important. Now, that also does not mean that we just throw a blanket over everything that our superior does and just ignore it, right? Like we can properly, in a proper spirit, I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this, right? So it's not that all the actions are infallible. So like if Pope Francis comes out tomorrow and is talking off the record, like sometimes he does, says something a little funky, that doesn't mean that that's gospel truth, because it's not like an infallible statement, right? So not everything that our superiors do is infallible, is without error completely.
Right.
But in terms of like faith and morals, like when Father Scott comes out on that pulpit and he says, hey guys, abortion is wrong. Stop contracepting. Come to church every single Sunday. That is the law. That is the rule. And I'm telling you that is my, as your superior, right? That stuff. I mean, if you follow those simple, simple things that your superior is telling you, right? Like we can, we'll all get to heaven. It'll be so great.
Right. That's why it's important. I preach the message of my superior, who preaches the message of his superior, which of course is the message of the grand superior. That'd be Jesus. So, right. So we all have to follow his teaching, and it just, you know, it trickles down. Right. So we all have to do that, but it's out of obedience that we do so, which is true humility.
Right.
Right.
So, no, exactly. Well, and that's what's funny, right? It's almost like life is this, I don't know, is like a racetrack, right? We have, we're in our little race car. We have the racetrack that goes there, and that's our life. And it can be really easy if we just follow the racetrack and stay in the bounds. Mm-hmm. We don't veer off into the bushes and whatever, and you know, whatnot. If we just stay on that racetrack that somebody else laid down before us, man, it'd be so simple. But sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted by the things off to the side of the road.
Well, I'm a little distracted by the racetrack analogy, because isn't the idea to win? So you win, you have to run people off the road and all that. Of course, I guess in NASCAR and IndyCar, you get in trouble for doing that.
Yeah, there you go.
So maybe you're right, right? So you've got to follow the rules.
Well, and St. Paul talks about running a race. I don't know. Maybe it's a runner's track.
No, but there's a point to be made about, the, you know, with IndyCar and NASCAR, you have to obey their rules too.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
you have to, otherwise you'll be disqualified, you'll be kicked out of the race.
So the idea is to win, but you win by following the rules. You cannot break the rules. Okay, so you have to obey the rules, you know.
You know, exactly.
And that's in life, you know. Okay, here's the rules. We and this applies to civil law as well, traffic, you know, signals and speed limits. You know, we have to obey.
Yeah,
you know. And if we don't, ah, the hell with that speed sign, I'm going to do what I want. Well, then that's pride.
Yep. And woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, that's right.
Be in trouble.
Yeah. So we don't want that. When was the last time you got a ticket?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably been 10 years.
Really?
11 years.
What did you do?
Oh, I was speeding. I wasn't going that fast. I was going like a 37 and a 25 or something. I thought the speed limit was 35. I was going 37.
Really? 37?
Yeah.
Cops don't give tickets.
No. But no, I'm saying the speed limit was 25. So the speed limit was 25. I thought it was 35, so I was going 37.
Oh.
That's when I got pulled over. It's been a long time. What about you?
So long, I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. But I've had several tickets, but it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I got pulled over was about a year and a half ago, because the little sticker, you know, the...
Oh, your registration?
Yeah, it expired. I didn't even know it. They didn't inform me. So I had to go down there and get the thing. It was
a
pain in the rumpus, you know? But the cop was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nowadays, you know, because of things that go on, like in Texas. So, you know, the cop got out and he walked very slowly to the car and... He's checking it out. He's looking, trying to look in the window, and for good reason, you know. But once he saw the collar, the Roman collar, then he breathed a big sigh of relief. It's like, okay, so you know you've got expired plates. Yeah, I know. No, I didn't know. I'm like, really? Because they didn't inform me. So I took care of it.
Yeah, it's been a while. I drive like a grandma, so I drive pretty slow, low and slow.
Yeah. You do everything like a grandma.
That's true. That's very true.
Very true, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so be humble before the Lord. Yeah. That's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and realize, friends, that, you know, realize what you are, what you're called to be. Child of God. You know? Child of the Lord. Isn't that cool?
It is, man.
We're children of the Lord. And adopted, paid for. Sanctified, redeemed, on our way to heaven, if we don't mess it up, you know, by committing sin.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing I just want to, with the remaining, with the time we have left. you know, we think about, I saw this article this morning, by the way, that was talking about, maybe you saw it, about the aging rock legends.
I don't think I saw that.
So you think about all the rock legends, the Stones, the, you know, you got Paul McCartney, you've got Pink Floyd, or the members of, you know, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, Bob Dylan, all these guys, right?
Right.
Stevie Nicks, Joe Walsh, all these rock legends.
Right.
Well, there's nobody replacing them. There's no, like, young rock legends now. Okay? So he's pointing out that, you know, these guys are all nearing 80 now.
Hmm.
And pretty soon they'll all be gone in the next, what, 10 to 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? So all these people that I grew up with, these rock legends, will all be gone. So, you know what? We think about death, you know, and it's a reality for all of us. So we think about death, we fear death, but I just wonder how often do we ponder eternity? You know, we think about, oh no, I'm going to die one day. Yeah. Okay. But do we really ponder eternity and the possibilities? So, you know, do we reflect on and ponder the beauty of heaven, what it must be, the glory of it all? Do we think about hell? Do we even believe in hell? And for those people who, and many people obviously don't, because they live as if there is no hell, but if nothing impure can enter heaven, if they are impure, then, well, what's the alternative to heaven then? If not for hell, which is an eternal separation from God and his love.
Right.
So do we ponder these things, the possibilities? And allow those things that we ponder on to guide us, you know, to a place of, you know, to repentance, for example,
mm-hmm.
and a firm purpose to reform and to get right with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is something we got to do that.
Yeah. Well, that just reminds me of, my personal favorite, act of contrition.
Mm-hmm.
So like the old form, I love what it says in the old form. 'Cause he says, it says, I'm truly sorry because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell,
yeah.
but most of all, because they offend you, my God,
mm-hmm.
man. And it's true, right? Like, mm-hmm. and we talk about contrition, imperfect contrition, where it's you're sorry, but more out of a fear of hell.
That's attrition. Losing. That's called attrition.
Attrition.
When you dread your sins because you fear the fires of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it suffices, but it's not perfect.
It's not perfect contrition, right?
Contrition is where you feel sorry for having offended the Lord who mm-hmm. is your lover.
Exactly, where it pains you for hurting the one that you love.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right, so that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Will Tapia.
Thank you, Father Scott.
All right, so have you heard from Tony?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he sent me that text. And other than that, no, not really.
Oh, okay. He's out there hanging 10, baby.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe he'll be back soon. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Shout out to Tony. He listened to the last podcast in Hawaii. So. Yeah.
Any other shout outs?
There was something I was going to mention, and I'm slipping my head, man. Other than don't forget. This is a little ad time. Don't forget, if you guys want to try Regina Cigars, they're our partner on this podcast. They're giving us some free sticks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be smoking and reviewing on here pretty soon. But check them out, reginacigars.com, and type in the promo code Holy Smokes, HOLYSMOKES,
mm-hmm.
Holy Smokes, all one word, no spaces. Mm-hmm. And you get 10% off your order from Regina Cigars. Mm-hmm. .com. Check them out. Good dudes. They're always tagging us on Instagram and fun stuff like that. So,
okay, very hip. By the way, we have to try out that new brew house that's right across the street.
I know we've said that for a couple weeks, man. We stink.
Well, you know? I took a shower today, so I don't stink.
Do you really? Yeah. I don't know. Are you sure?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I don't.
I actually used soap this time too. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking.
I found some soap, so I used it. You know, big bottle, a big jar of a Comet cleanser down below at the kitchen sink, so I brought it on up, used it.
Yeah. One of those dishwashers. So, leave us a review too on iTunes, as Father Scott said. I wanted to say what's kind of funny to me is I was reading some of the reviews on one of our friend podcasts, Catholics That We Should Know. there's a lot of people who are really upset about the banter. They're like, oh, just get to the point. Like, I just wanted to put a little disclaimer in this podcast for anybody who's listening that we're just kind of two dudes. I mean, Father Scott's a priest who has more of a theological background than I do, but for the most part, we're just two, three dudes sometimes sit around and kind of brainstorm and chat about the gospel in a really casual conversation. So we hope we're not boring you with our banter, but we like being here every single week.
Of course, we do, and we have fun. But I'll tell you this, our banter, listen to our banter tonight. It's all church stuff.
Yeah.
We're not. Sometimes we talk about, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went, you know, camping or play golf once in a while. But most of the time, our banter is focused around church stuff. Okay, what's going on in the Vatican? What's going on in the church? You know, like last week, we got into a discussion about the Jesuit who claims that, you know, Satan is, you know, some personification of evil. Okay, so we talked all about that. So, you know, you say, well, you know, if you're skipping through the banter, well, you're missing a lot of good stuff.
No, and honestly, like, there are some people who just don't like small talk anyway, but we like it. We're chatty Cathys.
Well,
here,
if they don't like small talk, why is it that they themselves engage in small talk?
There you go. But, you know, and we're just having fun, you guys. We're not,
You sound like you're apologizing.
Well, no. So this is all I wanted to say. I wanted to give a disclaimer that we're not Word on Fire. We're not Bishop Barron. We're not here, you know, giving these snippets on the gospel and whatever. We have fun. We enjoy ourselves. And we hope you guys enjoy it, too. It seems like a lot of people are. So thanks for being there, you guys. And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, you done?
I'm done.
Are you done bantering?
That was my long-winded banter.
It was a long-winded apology. So.
No, it was not.
It really was.
It was not an apology.
I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry at all. I enjoy the heck out of this podcast.
I'm having fun.
Like, we should just do like a long form. Like I told you this already. We should do like a long form 2-hour podcast. We just like lounge back on these lazy boys, like have the headset microphones and just talk about whatever crosses our head. For 2 hours.
Well, how are
live
we gonna,
stream it?
We're going to hang the mics from the ceiling? Is that how that's going to work?
We'll get creative. It would be awesome. Anyway, yeah.
Is that
thanks.
The thing nowadays?
Yeah, that is. That's the thing. Like long form podcasts where you just like
babble.
Yeah, just, well, yeah, but like, I guess it's kind of babble, but yeah, like two hours. Like I'm thinking of like one that's really popular. I'm not condoning this, by the way, for any of our listeners.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. He had the Joe Rogan podcast. He talks for like 2.5 hours with his guests.
Yeah, don't listen.
It's pretty inappropriate. But they'll have like cameras and stuff like that, and they have anyway. It's just crazy. People who watch it, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're not doing that.
People don't want to see us.
We have to edit it too because we just like there's times where we just sit here in silence for like 30 seconds as we both scratch our heads.
What?
Just we both scratch our heads like wondering where we're going next.
Yeah, but I want you to consider something. I'm the one who has to edit.
I know, and you
while
do.
You sit in that recliner over there, and you throw
smoke
the
smoke cigars,
you throw
the legs
feet
up,
and you smoke, and then I'm here to edit, which is a lot of hard work.
Our professional producer. But anyway, yep, that's all I got.
All right, so next week, man, the 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. You know, I just want to mention, I mentioned it last week, but we got September coming up, and then we get into October, and then there's so many cool feast days. You know, there's the All Souls, All Saints Day, the day before All Souls. You've got the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Christmas to look forward to. So a lot of cool stuff coming up in the church and in our celebration. So
yeah,
enjoy it and dig it. And you know, if you've never been to New Mexico for the Balloon Fiesta, dude, make the trip.
Oh my gosh, if you guys come out for Balloon Fiesta, drop us a line. We will so go take you to our favorite cigar spots. Go smoke it up at Havana House, man.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Okay, bye
bye.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.